Nobody knows the power of prayer, but somebody must be listening there. With a friendly ear for the heart that calls, someone who knows when a sparrow falls. Miracles lie in the power of prayer. Father that can banish the soul's despair. Hope that can shine like a holy light and brighten the spirit's darkest night. When earthly help is of no avail, there is one friend who will never fail. Just lift your eyes. The answer is there. For nobody knows the power of prayer. God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And we're the 23rd of January. And I just wanted to share my heart and put this out for you. This is what God's been inspiring my heart and life with. And since the new year began, I just changed the routine as God was working in my heart to do that. The things that I've been doing daily. And just allow God to lead me by His Spirit. As we know in Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And to be led by the Spirit, you know, our hearts has to be towards God. You know, our desire is towards Him, and we want to do those things pleasing in His sight, that we are utilizing the things that God has given us. Number one, we got Holy Spirit, and we utilize that by speaking in tongues. We can pray to God, we got the Scriptures. And we just do the things every day that God puts in our hearts. When we're doing that, God is working in you. See, He's continually working in you, guiding you what you should do. Thoughts and ideas that come to your mind on things to do, things to change, things to organize in your life. I mean, every day you may have a set routine of things that you need to do in your life, but the way you do them and your approach to them can be with God and can be God-led. And, you know, I've been finding that since I've been following the things that God has been putting in my heart daily, great open doors have began to open for me to just simply bless people, share the word, pray, minister. And because my desire is for God, you know, I pray for laborers, my desire that God would give me laborers, that we see great growth and increase and outreach. I pray for my own fields to work in. And I expect from God. My thoughts are upon God. And, you know, God just reminded me of George Muller. George Muller was a wonderful man of God that really looked to God. And he was from Prussia, and he moved to Bristol many years ago. And he began orphanages, and, you know, for children that were parents, no family, nowhere to live, no food, no nothing. And many children died back in those days, but God worked in this man, George Muller's life, and he looked to God, and his life was a life of prayer and dependency upon God. And if we're really going to see things happen, you know, we're to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We're to lean not onto our own understanding, but in all our ways, we're to acknowledge Him above every situation, every circumstances, anything that comes against you. Doesn't matter if the situation looks bleak, no hope, dead ends. God will make a way where there is no way. When we focus on Him, God goes to work. And when we rest in Him, when we remember that it's God's grace that things happen, that He gives us the work to do, it's not that we decide what we're going to do, but we act upon what God puts in our hearts to do, then He opens up great doors. Now, there's just a couple of things I want to read about George Muller to you to build your faith and encourage you like it's encouraged me. And this is what George Muller had to say on prayer. And this is what he'd done in his daily life. He said, it's my habitual practice about little things to bring them before God. I never attempt to carry any burden myself. I roll them on God and speak to God about them. I cannot tell you how happy this service in which I am engaged makes me. Instead of being the anxious, care-worn man so many persons think me to be, I have no anxieties, I have no cares at all. Faith in God leads me to roll my burdens on God. Not only burdens concerning money, but burdens concerning everything, for hundreds are my necessity besides those connected with money. In every way I find God to be my helper, even as I trust Him for everything and pray to Him in childlike simplicity above everything. If difficulty arise, lay your case before God. Tell Him in all simplicity your position. Ask His counsel and advice. In thousand trials, it is not 500 of them that work for the believer's good, but 999 of them, and one besides, in other words, all of them, I have found invariably during my long life as a believer that if I only believed, I was sure to get in God's time the thing that I asked for. And this really blessed me, because like God's timing is perfect. And sometimes we can give up praying for something because we're not seeing the answer to it. But, you know, we have to determine that God has heard our prayers, and God hears your prayers, and God is faithful. And we need to continue in prayer. We need to continue believing that God has heard our prayer, that he's going to answer those prayers, and he will answer them. And being in the position that I'm in, I know that this is true. In my life, God has really answered all my prayers. When I've gone to him with a genuine heart, not seeking my will away, but seeking his, he has really blessed me. And getting up a great while before the day, every day now, I'm just so blessed, because I can't wait to get that time in with God before I start my day. I don't want to start my day without starting it with God. And I give everything to him. And I not only just give him my burdens, my problems, my desires, but I praise him. I thank him for the things that he's doing in my life. I thank him for the understanding and wisdom that he's put in my heart and in my hands, that I can really know God's will and heart for my life, and that my life now as a believer is to live unto him 100%, not playing church or religion, not messing around, but really fully live it to him, that he is my first desire above relationships. He is my first desire. And I really love my God because he is faithful. Even when I haven't been faithful, even when I've blown it, even when I've messed up, God is faithful. And if we just realize just how great God is, his great love for you, he loves you so deeply, he cares about you, he knows your frame, he remembers that you're dust. You know, we just need to go to him. Another thing that George Miller says, he says, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, and when I rise up, and the answers are always coming. Thousands and ten thousands of times has my prayer has been answered, when once I am persuaded that a thing is right, and for the glory of God, I go on praying for it until the answer comes. You know, when we make God our first love, it says in Psalms that he will give us the desires of our heart, because we've made him the first love. That he is above all things, like he needs to be first in our life 100% and in every area of our life, and we need to trust him. And he works with us, and he brings us to that place where we trust him fully. He does answer our prayers. He does deliver us. He does heal us. He does provide for us. He does open up doors for us to speak and declare his word to other people. I just want to go through something that about George Miller, because this guy was a great living example, and it really intrigues me, because like this guy was from Bristol as well. He lived in Bristol. He was from Prussia but lived in Bristol. You know, George Miller believed that God answered prayers. You know, we got to believe that God answers our prayers. He prayed every day for hours about many different things and expected his prayers to be answered by the amazing God that he believed in. George Miller didn't get paid wages for what he did. He just trusted the gifts would be given to provide for his family. And he knew God providing for his family all the way through his life. During his lifetime, Miller cared for over 10,000 orphans in Bristol. He never made a pill or asked for money or did fundraising events. Instead, he trusted that God would provide what they needed, and he prayed for what they needed each day. In George Miller's lifetime, he received 1,500,000 from gifts. This would be about 90 million today. That's a lot of money, just by praying, believing God, and using it for God's purposes. The first orphanage opened on the 21st of April, 1836, in Wilson Street, St. Paul's. George Miller had asked God for £1,000 and the right people to run the orphanage. Within 5 months, all that they needed had been provided for. A few years later, George opened 5 new orphanages on the land that he bought on a rural site at Ashley Downs, just outside the city boundaries. They're now colleges today. My son Danny actually went there to do carpentry at these colleges, and they're massive places. Some days it was as if God literally provided for them from hour to hour. On days they run out of food, 300 children sat waiting for their breakfast. Jude prayed to God and thanked God for the breakfast that they were about to eat, confident that God would provide food for them. There was a knock at the door and the baker was standing outside with a big load of bread. He said that God had woke him up in the night and told him to bake more bread than usual and take it to the orphanage. Jude said thank you for the bread and took it inside for the children. There was another knock at the door and this time it was the milkman. A wheel on his cart had broken outside the orphanage. He didn't want to leave the cart and go out and get what he needed to fix the cart, as he said the milk would get stolen. So he had decided to give the milk to George for the children instead. So breakfast was provided. Strong gales in Bristol on Saturday the 14th January 1865 caused considerable damage in the air and over 25 holes were opened in the roof of the orphanage. Around 20 windows were broken and two frames damaged by falling slates. The glazier and the slater who were normally employed to fix things had already committed their staff to other work, so nothing could be done until the Monday. Had the winds continued with heavy rain, the damage to the orphanage would have been much greater. Jules prayed for the weather to calm down. The wind stopped in the afternoon and no rain fell until Wednesday, by which time most of the damage had been repaired. Later on in life, Jules decided to travel around the world telling people about his incredible God and what God can do when we trust and ask him. When he was crossing the Atlantic in 1877, his ship ran into a thick fog. Jules explained to the captain that he needed to be in Quebec by the following afternoon, but the captain said he was slowing the ship down for safety. Jules asked the captain if he could use the chat room to pray for the fog to lift. The captain followed him into the room, claiming that prayer would be a waste of time. Müller prayed, and then the captain decided to pray. Müller stopped him and said the prayer had already been answered. They went upstairs to find that the fog had lifted. The captain became a Christian not long afterwards. So really, what an amazing man. What a great example. And not far from our day and time. It was the 1800s, okay. But, you know, bless God that, you know, this is someone from outside of the Bible. So we know it doesn't just work for the people inside of the Bible. It works for those that believe. Those that believe God and trust God. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me and ask me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which you know if not. See, God wants to answer you. God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to communicate to him, and he'll communicate back to you. You know, God wants you to have a great prayer life. This is your relationship with God through prayer. And, you know, God wants us to really be confident in him, really to go to him every time. If you think and you look in the Bible, you had Moses' prayer for Israel in the wilderness. You can read that in Exodus 32, verses 9 through to 14. Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still in Joshua 10, 12 to 15. Abraham prayed for Sodom in Genesis 18, verses 16 to 33. Hannah prayed for a child in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through to 20 and chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. King David was a great man of prayer. We see his prayer in the Psalms. His son, King Solomon, prayed, as we know, that great prayer, that invitation that God gave him to ask him what he wanted. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. See, all the great believers prayed and God was with them. And we can read the prayer life of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, his heart, his desire to God, his relationship with God we can look at. And the believers in the book of Acts, we can see their prayers. We can see the prayer of Cornelius. We can see Paul's prayer for the church. In the book of Ephesus, the Paul's prayer for Israel, his fellow men. Let's have a look at a couple of records. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. So Jesus Christ, a great while in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out, and he departed. He got quiet. It reminds me when I get up each morning now, I come to my office, it's nice and quiet, you can't hear anything, you can hear a pin drop. And I just give my day to God, I pray, I thank him, I ask him to put his desires in my heart, I thank him that every need's met. I already know that he does exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think, like it says in Ephesians. I know that I can go boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy. and help in the time of need. I know my God is for me. I know I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm an heir of God. I know I'm seated at the right hand side of God. I know there's therefore now no condemnation to me. I know that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. I know I have a direct connection with God. I'm justified by faith. I am righteous. So I go confidently to God. And I'm really expecting God to provide, to open doors, to lead me, to guide me. And I know there's time involved with these things as well. But nothing's impossible with God. He can make things happen straight away. And God is faithful. And he just wants us to be faithful and to depend upon him, to rely upon him, to delight in him, and to desire him above anything else. And when we do that, he's going to do great things. And we just need to begin. We just need to start this. Like, really start. It's so easy to get into a rut and a routine of doing things, a mundane way. It becomes like religious, like repetition. Now, be alive in your relationship. I'm not saying that you're not, but if you find yourself in that situation, then you can change it and ask God for that living relationship, a living relationship with the living God, who's the fountain of living water, that really wants to bless your life, that really wants to do great things in you and through you. And he needs your prayer. He needs your faith. He needs your desire. He needs your confession. He needs you to come into agreement with him. And you do that by prayer, by knowing his promises in his word, by declaring the word of God over your life. Let's have a look at Mark 6:46, and it says, "And when he had sent them away, the disciples, he departed into a mountain to pray." Sometimes you just need to withdraw from people and go and spend time with God, even if that's family members. You know, get alone with God. Have your alone time with God every day. Every day. And it doesn't just have to be the morning. It can be the morning, afternoon, evening. Just keep on praying. You know, when there's nothing to do, speak in tongues. When there's nothing going on, pray. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Sometimes we just have to shut shop, close the door, kick off our shoes and lay it all before the Father. And just believe him that he's at work, that he's going to do. And he's going to come through and he's going to give us the answers and the desires that we're asking of him, the direction that we may be seeking. Luke 6:12 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." You know, prayer is not just like for 10 minutes, half an hour. You can pray as much as you want with God. You know, spending that time, the more you get into the prayer, and I'm seeing, the more I'm really going to God, the more I want to spend there with God. And the things and the thoughts that come to my heart, he shows me also what to pray. Ask God what to pray. You know, and if you don't know what to pray, then you've got perfect prayer, which is speaking in tongues. So Jesus Christ made it his habit to get up early, get away into a solitary place and pour out his soul to God. And when we pray, that's what we're doing, actually. We're pouring out our soul to God, speaking in tongues. The benefits of speaking in tongues is, number one, it edifies you. You know, so God wants you to speak in tongues because it edifies you, it builds you up. Speaking in tongues is the spiritual ability. And when we speak in tongues, it's also to God, divine secrets that we're speaking to him. And we also speak the wonderful works of God when we speak in tongues. We also magnify God when we speak in tongues. We pray perfectly when we speak in tongues. And to really be thankful, it gives thanks well when we speak in tongues. It's also having the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit. It's also knowing that you're an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know, you're strengthened with might in your inner man when you speak in tongues. Okay, and when we do it in a believer's meeting and there's unbelievers, it's a sign to the unbeliever. It's also a rest to your soul. And when we interpret it, it brings a message from God or for God to the people present. You know, there's many things and many benefits. Speaking in tongues will really build you up, and it's perfect prayer. And that's why I mentioned that we can make intercession for people when we don't know what to pray. So I just wanted to share these little things with you just to encourage you that God is with us. He's for us. He's working in us. And when we really keep God first, and when we really desire the things of God, then, you know, our hearts will be to go to God for all things, to give him all things, to give him our desires. And the way we do that is through our prayer. And understanding who we are in Christ is so important, because we can pray on that basis. We can pray the promises of God. We can claim those promises of God. And God watches over his word to perform it. All the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen. So it's really important that we know what God says to us. We know that God hears our prayers. We know that God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He wants us to move. He wants to do great things. And it's through prayer and faith and expectation, a confident expectation, that God will go to work based upon his promises, based upon our desires, based upon our faith and confession. And God really wants to go to work. He really wants to do great things in you, through you, and by you. He wants you to shine as a light. And as you go to him with your desires, as you desire the things of God, he will open up great doors so that you can proclaim him, so that you can bring deliverance to people, so that you can show that God is at work in your life, that you can be that witness of the mighty God, that he answers prayers, just like we see in the life of George Muller, like we see in the life of all the patriarchs, of all the guys in the book of Acts, in the life of Jesus Christ. He went to God, he prayed, and then he saw great things happen. So if we want to see great things happen, let's really go to God with open hearts before him. Let's cast our burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. And you do that by speaking with God, by getting into a relationship with God. You can ask God questions. You can ask God direction. You can ask God for solutions. You can ask God for healing, for provision, which has already been provided for us in Christ. And when we know that and we claim that, then we can start to manifest and demonstrate the power of God. So I just really wanted to encourage you guys, you know, really seek him in the secret place. I want to go to, before I finish off here, just have a look at this. It's a wonderful, wonderful record. And I confess this psalm, actually. I confess it out every day of my life. And it's just really wonderful. And it says in Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Most of the Almighty. When we go to God in that secret place, when we desire God and we run to him, then we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, where we get the protection, where we get the provision, where we get the answers, the solutions, when we get the go ahead or the stop or to wait. David said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And we know this is a psalm referring to Jesus Christ, but it's also for us too. It says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy inhabitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion. The dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. See, we need to set our love upon God. And he needs to be first love all the way, in every department. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me. God is saying, he shall call upon me. And I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Why? Because we make God our inhabitation. We set our love also upon him. He's our desire. We keep him first. And we go to him. We seek him. He's our counselor. He's our advisor. He's our director. And he wants us to really depend upon him in every situation. So have a great week, whatever you're doing. And I want to finish off with a song that me and Abby wrote. It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And enjoy the song. Have a great week, whatever you're doing. We love you and God bless you.
Look at Jesus Christ, He was the one.